Welcome back to CombatTalk.fm. My name is Leister. I'm your host. We're going to crash course through our weekend of boxing. We've got a number of fights on deck, and I'm going to start out with some chaos that happened. I also want to talk a little bit about WWE and not spend a lot of time on it. WWE, of course, WrestleMania wrapped up. Excessive amounts of hours. I wasn't really, I'm not going to waste time on it. The Rock's gone again. He's gone back to Hollywood, I believe it is. So all the fun shit is pretty much, I mean, they have other things, like Drew McIntyre, but none of them came close to The Rock. The Rock was doing big stuff. The Rock was doing great stuff, and none of them could come close to him, and that showed. He basically exposed the whole locker room, and he spiked business. We can talk about the CM Punks. He's injured. His promos are good, but he's injured. He's old, The Rock's old, but he can still go. Punk, he can't. So I wasn't impressed with anything else that's there. Then I know some people were talking about the women's matches. I believe that you need sex back in wrestling because you need to sell the core demographic. I believe that. It's not about the matches. I think you need to sell the characters. You need to sell the stories. And with the women in particular, you need the men involved. You have Rhea Ripley having her man get knocked out right in front of her, and she barely does anything about it. We know that's not real. That's not how women really act. So I didn't like it. And then with The Rock gone, it's kind of up in the air what's going to happen. Plus Roman Reigns potentially not coming back. So WWE might go into a stale state here soon. I can't say for sure. There was a lot of crazy nonsense at WrestleMania that I wasn't a fan of. So all the good stuff I told you about, if you focus on The Rock stuff, it was great. Everything else, it's like, man. And then Austin didn't show up. So that's out there. Now in boxing world, crazy stuff happening because you got Terrence Bud Crawford who ducked Boots Ennis recently. And then he allegedly came out on social media, said the lion's back looking for prey. And I tweeted on social media, long as you're barefooted, because you don't want anybody that wears boots. And that's just the fact of what it is. He'll fight anybody else that's not. He talks about prey. Prey is somebody where you're the A side. He doesn't want somebody where he's the A side. He wants to be fighting against somebody who he's going to be the B side against. And then he'll want to declare he's the A side, that being Canelo. Canelo doesn't want to fight Crawford because he knows it's a waste of time. Crawford doesn't draw. Can't sell the family meeting, and so that's not, And then we don't know what's happening with Spence and Fundora. It's not finalized, but the theory is that Fundora will drop the WBO to fight Errol Spence. Not confirmed as of yet. Meanwhile, you got Stankonia apparently was made interim. I believe he's WBA. And then Cody Crowley is interim as well. So it's becoming interesting at 147. As I said, Crawford's got people breathing down his neck. He doesn't want to fight any of them. He's staying inactive at this point. He'll be inactive for a year, and it is what it is. Speaking of Terrence Crawford, Crying Garcia has been talking about everybody, literally, including Crawford. He could call out to Terrence Crawford, which, Crawford would likely take that fight because it's a lightweight. So, yeah, sure, why not? Why fight a welterweight when you can fight a lightweight just because it's money draw? But I don't think Crawford will take it seriously. I'm joking when I say that, half joking. But then Ryan put out a crap rap. It was to one of these old beats, and it was a terrible, terrible freaking rap, horrible. And I said, hey, he needs to respond with no Vaseline because, of course, it's Ryan and Oscar De La Hoya. You know what I'm saying? So Crying Garcia is selling the fight. That's happening next weekend, I believe it is. So I can't fault him for selling the fight, but he's acting like a nutcase. And everybody's seeing it. The ticket sales are down. Nobody's buying it. They actually had to drop the price of the pay-per-view because nobody was going to pay no $90 for a pay-per-view to watch these two. And they're going to pirate the fight anyway. Ryan's drawing power has decreased. He got knocked out by Tank Davis. He's talking like a nutcase. All he has is social media at this point. It's not that he's not talented, but the point is all he has is social media. And Devin Haney looks spectacular at 140. I expect Devin Haney is going to completely embarrass this guy. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, let's talk about this weekend's fights at the Manchester Arena in the UK on DAZN. 12 rounds of super featherweight action, Jordan Gill versus Zelfa Barrett. Decent fight. It's matched well on the numbers. Both guys are on somewhat of a rebuild. It's a great fight for those over the seas there. But it's a good matched fight on the numbers. I'm not crapping on the people. I just think it's, for the best you got, DAZN, I thought they could do better. Most people are cheering for Barrett. I've got Gill. And the reason I've got Gill is very simple. Barrett strikes me as one who has lapses in judgment at times. He'll do great, and then for whatever reason, he has lapses. And that's all that showcased his last fight. I don't know what it is. I can't say the specifics, but it just seems like he drops the ball, and that bothers me at least. But Gill is sharp. He had gotten stopped a fight before, But other than that, he's sharp. He makes mistakes, but not as much as I saw Barrett. I'm leaning Gill on that one. Maybe I get it wrong. Who knows? Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at women's super bantamweight action, Ellie Scottney versus Segaline versus, I can't even pronounce that last name. Segaline, sorry. And it may even be pronounced wrong. I think she's from, I don't know if she's Finnish or something. I'm not sure. So I didn't want to do her a disservice by trying to pronounce the last name. I apologize. Ellie Scottney, I'm a big fan of, though. I think Ellie Scottney is quality, but she's up against a test based on the numbers. I did watch her opponent's fights a couple, and she's skilled, no power, but she's talented. She's really skilled. And although she's older, she seems like she's got more experience overall. She's been in the game longer, more rounds in the books. So I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, to see Scottney take a loss this time. It's a good test of a fight, especially if you like the women's action. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at women's lightweight action, Rhiannon Dixon fighting Karen Carbajal, and I love both women. Absolutely. Carbajal had a loss most recently that was, she's rebuilding, but I think it didn't hold her back mentally. She seems like she's still in the game, but she's older, so it'll be harder for her to rebound, is my point. And she's going against the southpaw in Dixon, so I'm leaning Dixon this one for sure. Even though Dixon has way less experience, I think the southpaw is going to play a factor in that one. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds of super featherweight action, Michael Gomez Jr. fighting Cain Baker. Didn't know anything about Baker. I looked at some fights, was not really impressed. Gomez Jr., decently impressed, decent good boxer. He's a pure boxer. I wouldn't say stellar or spectacular. It's matched decently well on the numbers, roughly same height, same reach, everything else. So this one feels like it's going to be a stinker, though. It feels like it's going to be a kind of a chess match, boring type of fight that goes the distance. That's my gut. They're super feathers, so hopefully that's not the case. But that's what it looks like to me when I watched it. Now we're going to switch to the U.S. American Bank Center out in Corpus Christi in Texas. 10 rounds of heavyweight action. This is on ESPN in the U.S. Sky Sports in the U.K. Headline event, 10 rounds at heavyweight action. Jared Anderson makes his return against Raya Murray. This fight's being hyped to the moon for Jared Anderson. Jared Anderson, of course, is undefeated. I've not been impressed with Jared Anderson. His record is good, but I've not been impressed with him as a fighter. Feels like he's being pushed a little bit too soon. Feels like he's just waiting for the right opportunity to get upset. Murray's not going to do that. Jared Anderson's going to walk through the dude, and that's not dinging Murray, but it's levels. At the level, Anderson's way far superior than what Murray's doing. But I do think that, again, I just think that Jared Anderson's being pushed the wrong way. Now, maybe, just maybe, Murray's pulls something out and exposes something that we all see. I can't say that because, you know, but I just think Murray's got nothing for the guy. We'll see what happens here. Afe Ajaba fighting Guido Vianello. Really good fight. Ajaba's, he had that, I got completely dominated. But other than that, he bounced back. He's been solid other than the DQ in his favor. Other than that, he's been solid since that complete, you know, wash that he experienced on decision. And then Vianello is a decent good fighter. He got stopped in his last fight, but he's power. He's rangy. He's a good fighter. It's just he got stopped. So I think it's a good match is my point. I think it's a good number match. I think they're roughly equivalent, believe it or not. Close to the number of fights, you know, Ajaba's been in the business a little bit longer, but I think it's a good match for both guys. It's a good match to see as rebuilds and Ajaba to continue his momentum. I think it's a good fight to have, especially if you're going to be non-pay-per-view and this is ESPN Plus. So that's good. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds of super featherweight action, Henry LeBron fighting Charly Suarez. I had not heard of Suarez. I do know LeBron, but Suarez I hadn't heard of. I checked him out. He's from the Philippines. Decent, good fighter. He's older. He's been in the game not that long, but he started late. And so when I was looking at the comparison fights, you know, LeBron is a southpaw. LeBron is a boxer puncher from what I can tell. And he's crafty. He has the ability to get the win. He's kind of like Estrada. You know, he can get the win when he needs to. So they're both undefeated, so this will be a test for both guys to see. Now, LeBron, he struggled a little bit in his most recent fight. I wouldn't say he was dominated, but he had slipped a little bit. I don't think that was anything other than maybe prep. Maybe he had a prep issue or just simply bad on the night. Maybe he was sick or whatever it was. He won, but he didn't look good doing it. So he needs to stay focused against Suarez because Suarez is also a boxer puncher. Suarez is going to come forward. Suarez is going to try to prove something, especially because of the legacy behind the Philippine fighters. So that one should be a good fight. I think it's going to be an action-packed fight for as long as it lasts, and I'm leaning LeBron on that one. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at featherweight action, Ruben Villa versus Christian Cruz Chacon. A good fight. I'm aware both guys saw multiple of their fights, and it hurts me to see them, you know, at this stage fighting because it feels like this is a fight that could have happened a couple of years before. Here we are. Villa, I think, gets the win. He's a southpaw. He's rangy. He's a very skilled boxer, but he can get you out when he wants to. Very sneaky with the shots. Usually a late round fighter, so if he can get past Chacon's earliest onslaught, I think it gets to Villa. Probably by decision is my gut speaking. Then we have a fight that's happening this weekend at the Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan. 10 rounds at featherweight action. This is on Wednesday. Hayato Tsumi fighting Anselmo Moreno. Good fight. Good, both solid. Moreno's older. Moreno's coming off knockout losses. I say it's a good fight simply because Moreno's going to be working hard. He's not going to lay down. And it's a good test for Tsumi because he doesn't have a lot of experience. So Tsumi should walk through him, but don't be surprised if Moreno gets his hand raised against this because Tsumi's early. He's really early in the game. He's only had, what, five fights or four? So it would not surprise me if Moreno pulls something out. That's what we got on deck in the boxing world. We'll check in next week.